Well, we are in the study of the Gospel of John, and the title of the sermon series is So That You May Believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And we see that this title actually comes from the purpose that John gives for writing this Gospel of John back in chapter 20, verse 31, where John says, "But these were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." This morning we're in the third week of our study of the Last Supper. At the end of the passage this morning, we're going to see that Jesus says, "Get up, let's leave this place." And as we'll see next week, he walks to the Garden of Gethsemane and continues to teach his disciples. And then he prays for himself, he prays for them, and then he prays for all of us. But in this passage that we're going to be looking at this morning, Jesus is still having the final meal with his disciples right before he's crucified. And he uses this time not only to prepare them for what is next, but also to teach them how to think and act as his leaders when he's gone. Last week, we saw that Jesus told his disciples where he was going and what he was going to do. And he also told them how they could go where he is going. And then finally, Jesus talked about his relationship with his Father. This week, we're going to see that Jesus talks about love, the Holy Spirit, and peace. So if you have your handout, let's read together John 14, 15 through 31. Again, that's John 14, 15 through 31. "If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal him myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it you're going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. The word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have spoken these words to you while I remain with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. You have heard me tell you I am going away and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father because the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you may believe. I will not talk with you much longer because the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me. On the contrary, so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do as the Father commands me. Get up. Let's leave this place." Okay, so we're going to again look at three observations this morning from this passage. The first observation is that Jesus talks about how we show our love for him. And then second, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. Then third observation is that Jesus talks about peace. So let's look at that first observation, how we show our love for Jesus. There are four times in this passage alone that Jesus ties his love for him with following his commands, obeying his words. First, we see in verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And then in 21, he says, the one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And then down in 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And then in verse 24, the one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. In our passage this morning, we see three things about loving Jesus and keeping his commands. But before we look at them, one thing that can confuse us with this whole idea about love and obedience is that we don't understand what Jesus means when he uses the word love. When we think about love, we typically think about warm, fuzzy feelings that we have for others. You know, we sometimes call it affection. But the Greek word Jesus uses here is agapao, and can probably be better translated as devotion. This quality of love is not so much emotion, not that it has no emotion at all, but not so much emotion, but it's more toward the idea of devotion. Now, as to where this type of love comes from, one Bible commentator writes that agapao speaks of a love which is awakened by a sense of value in an object which causes one to prize it. It springs from an apprehension of the preciousness of an object. It's a love that esteems the object of their love, and the quality of this love is determined by the character of the one who loves and that of the object loved. See, to love Jesus is to prize him above all. And folks, the more we love him, the more we prize Jesus, the more we will want to obey him. Okay, so the first thing we see in these passages about loving Jesus and keeping his commands is as Jesus talks about enablement. We can't even begin to obey his commandments on our own. Notice how Jesus says this in verses 15 and 16. If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. One Bible commentator says that immediately after Jesus makes the statement, if you love me, you will keep my commands, he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He goes on to say, Jesus knows that keeping his commands in this fallen world will require a divine source of power in the form of the Holy Spirit's presence living within us. Now, we're going to talk more about the Holy Spirit and what he does in a few minutes, but let's just wrap up what Jesus is saying about love and obedience. Second, we see the result of our love and obedience in verse 23. And Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We see that the result of our love and obedience is an intimate relationship with both Jesus and God the Father. A love relationship and a closeness with them. It results in the awareness that Jesus is right with us no matter what is happening, and that he will love and carry us through whatever we are going through. Then last, we see that Jesus is our example. We see this in verse 31. On the contrary, so the world may know that I love the Father, I do as the Father commanded me. Paul puts Jesus' example in a little different way in Philippians 2:8, where he's talking about Jesus and he says, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. One Bible commentator puts it this way. Thankfully, we have a model for loving Jesus and keeping his commands, the love of Jesus Christ and his life of obedience to the Father. Obeying Christ's commands means copying the example of Jesus. And he goes on to say, loving Jesus is not merely a feeling. It's an active, abiding, ongoing relationship of following and obeying our loving Master. As we wrap up our first observation, we see that the unmistakable meaning of this passage is that obedience to Christ's commands is both a sign and a test of our love for Jesus. Our second observation for this morning is that Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. Here, Jesus actually introduces his disciples to the third person of the Trinity, again, the Holy Spirit. We see this first in verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. So notice first that the Holy Spirit is called a counselor both here and in verse 26. Now, the Greek word translated here as counselor is the Greek word parakletos, and it is a term that occurs five times in this epistle. It literally means one called alongside. Parakletos describes one who stands by to help, to render aid, especially in a court of law, like a lawyer, or one who is summoned to the side of another to help, comfort, encourage, counsel, to intercede for. Folks, many of our troubles occur because we fail to take counsel from the Holy Spirit. Instead of first praying and seeking guidance, we act and then ask God to bless our actions. Listen, our effectiveness as Christians and our peace and joy are totally dependent upon our awareness and appreciation of the Holy Spirit's intimate presence in our lives. And our willingness to be directed and controlled by him, yielded to what he tells us. Next, notice three things in verses 16 about the Holy Spirit. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. First, we see that he is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the truth about Jesus. He helps us to understand the truth of the Scriptures. And he will help you see the truth, the reality of what's going on in your life and the lives of others. See, the Holy Spirit leads us in truth. He speaks truth into our lives. He does this by the conviction of our sin, exposing our hidden motives, by reminding us of God's mercy, his grace, and his love, and his righteousness and justice. He does this by pointing us to Jesus. Folks, again, we have the Holy Spirit with us all the time. Ask him to help you to see truth. Which leads us to the next thing about the Holy Spirit, and that is, he is with you forever. Now, there are actually two things here. First of all, the Holy Spirit doesn't take a vacation from you. You can count on him to be right there with you all the time as your counselor, your advocate, your comforter, your encourager, and helper. But then second, he is with you forever. If you've been saved, if you've been born again, he will be with you, as it says here again. He will be with you forever. He is with you through thick and thin. But we also see here that not only is he with us, but he is in us. It is he who transforms our lives into the image of Jesus Christ. It's he who strengthens us. And the fruit, the result of his living in us and our yieldedness to him, is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Then the last two things we see about the Holy Spirit we see are in verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. So first we see that he will teach you all things. He would teach them the full meaning of many of the things that they didn't understand up to that point. And then for us today, the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and understanding. Folks, when you don't know what to do, which way to turn, ask him to help you. He is our counselor. He is our guide. But then second, we see that he will bring to their remembrance everything that Jesus told them. Now, one of the primary ways we can see this is actually with the 11 disciples. John himself is a perfect example of the fulfillment of this promise. He wrote the gospel many years after the events had taken place. And yet the Spirit was bringing these truths to his remembrance, quickening his memory and inspiring the words he recorded. But you know, this also applies to us today. It's the Holy Spirit who brings to mind passages in Scripture, maybe even ones that you learned when you were a child, and also things that Jesus has said. And he does that typically when we need it the most. Things in our lives can easily crowd out what's best. And we need to be constantly reminded of those things that are the most important. We can easily get out of balance in our lives, like putting work before God and family. The Holy Spirit sometimes speaks directly to us, but he uses others to speak to us at times, like right now, this morning. He is the one who convicts us of our sin and leads us to repentance. And he is also the one who gives us wisdom, how to apply what he has taught us in a specific situation that we find ourselves in. Folks, can I encourage you to listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you and yield to what he's telling you? Then our last observation for this morning is Jesus talks about peace. And this is something the disciples really needed, both at that point in time. Because remember, Jesus just told them that one of them would betray him and that he was going away and that they couldn't follow him. But even more, for the future. His crucifixion was the next day. But also remember the intense trials, conflicts, and persecution that they would face for the rest of their lives. We see what Jesus says about this peace that he gives in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. First, we see that this peace is here to stay. He's going to leave it with his disciples when he leaves. Now, we just saw in the previous verse that Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit to them. He's saying that he's going to leave his peace with the Holy Spirit to give to them. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We just looked at Galatians 5, 22 and 23, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what? Exactly, peace. Folks, this peace that Jesus is talking about is also for us. It comes through the Holy Spirit living within us and our listening and yieldedness to him. Second, notice that it's the peace of Jesus. It's that same peace that Jesus had through what he was going through that was given to his apostles. It was a supernatural peace that lives above the worst circumstances. Then third, we see that Jesus goes on to contrast his peace with what the world gives as peace. See, his peace, again, is supernatural. The world's peace is temporal. His peace is in the midst of conflict and not dependent on the circumstances around us. The world's peace is dependent on the circumstances around us and the absence of conflict. Jesus' peace is lasting. The world's peace is temporary. As we wrap up this morning, let's look at how this applies to us. This is a peace that comes first again through the Holy Spirit living within us. But as far as our part goes, it comes through trust and it comes through obedience. First, no matter what happens, we know that God is in control and that we believe that the process of going through the difficult situation and the result of what comes out of going through it will be good. But also, second, that our purpose is to obey him, no matter what the cost. Again, it's our trust and obedience that bring this heart peace that Jesus is talking about. You know, it's interesting for us today, this peace is actually three-dimensional. First, we enjoy peace with God because Christ bore the penalty of sins for us on the cross. The second form of God's peace is peace with others. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 2:14, "For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility in his flesh." And then third, that we can have the peace of God in the midst of life's storms. This peace only comes to those who first have peace with God through faith in Jesus. And as I already said, when we trust and obey God through the storm. As we close this morning, could I ask everyone just to bow your heads and close your eyes for a few moments as we reflect on our time together? This morning we saw that we enjoy peace with God because Christ bore the penalty for our sins on the cross. How about you? Have you come to a point in your life where you realize that you're separated from God because of your sins and you see your need for Jesus? Through faith in him, you will receive forgiveness of all of your sins, become one of God's children, receiving a new life now in Jesus and a future home in heaven. And if this is what you want, just tell God in the quietness of your heart, "God, I realize I'm separated from you because of my sins. I want to turn from them. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again. And I give you my life. Then for those of us who are Jesus followers, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you this morning? Over and over again, we talked about the importance of trust and obedience. Have you trusted and obeyed when it comes to your relationship with others, especially your brothers and sisters in Christ? How about in your daily life, especially as difficult times assail you? Have you been trusting and obeying? Folks, whatever's going on in your life, can I encourage you to commit even now to doing what God's Spirit is telling you to do? Amen.